Welcome to today's sermon. I'm Mike Adams with Abundance.Church. And today we're taking a little bit of a break from the book of Revelation and Ezekiel and Armageddon, you know, those light reading topics. Today we're going to be talking about another way that Satan is trying to end the world, which is through climate alarmism or climate cultism. And in particular, we're going to bring together two very important fields, nutrition and atmospheric science. And this may be a short sermon, we'll see, but here's what you need to know. Higher levels of CO2 in the atmosphere, according to scientific research, result in not only higher food crop yields, but also higher levels of nutrition in those crops. Now, remember, we teach that nutrition is God's molecules, right? The nutritional armor of God. And when you eat these herbs and foods and superfoods, you are bringing in these amazing molecules that God put on this earth for the purpose of protecting you, keeping you healthy. That's why these molecules have properties that are neuroprotective, protect your neurology, or cardioprotective, or hepatoprotective. They protect your liver, for example. Now, these molecules are synthesized by the plants. And I know this is review for many of you, but the plants create these molecules through the engineering plans of God, you could say, expressed through Mother Nature. For example, when a plant creates vitamin C, what is vitamin C made of? Atomically speaking, only three elements: hydrogen, carbon, oxygen. That's it. If you go look up online, there's even a website called chemspider.com, C-H-E-M, like chemistry, chemspider.com. Put in there vitamin C or ascorbic acid, and you'll find out that the entire molecule of vitamin C is made of nothing but H, C, and O. That's it. Well, H, C, and O is gathered from, well, the carbon dioxide in the air, and the hydrogen comes from the water that the roots of the plant take up, and then it reconfigures the HCO and it makes vitamin C. That's pretty amazing. And it does it for free. And all the other molecules that you love about plants, the carotenoids, the anthocyanins, the antioxidants, and, you know, the cruciferous vegetables, the sulforaphane, all these amazing things. We talk about the resveratrol in grapes and the proanthocyanidins in grape seeds and things like that. They're all made by plants through the same process. Some of them have other elements in them. For example, the cruciferous vegetables will bring in a sulfur atom. And in other molecules from plants, you'll find a magnesium. And magnesium is also in the center of chlorophyll. Whereas in human blood, which looks a lot like chlorophyll, but in the center of hemoglobin, you'll find iron. So chlorophyll in plants is like plant blood, but it's green because it's based on magnesium instead of iron. Very interesting. You know, plants and humans both have their kind of blood that carries energy with them. Hemoglobin in humans, chlorophyll in plants. Now, all of these amazing nutrients that are created, they come into existence through photosynthesis. And photosynthesis is the process that combines sunlight, carbon dioxide, and water in order to create energy, essentially sugars, for plants. And then this energy is used by the plant to construct its own infrastructure, you could say. Roots, stems, seeds, fruit, vegetables, leaves, you know, solar collectors, which are the leaves. And pollen and flowers, you know, to attract the pollinators and everything else. The plant builds what it needs. It also builds its own antibiotics. And if you don't believe me, eat some raw garlic and you will find out. And plants build their own anti-pest nutrients or antifungal nutrients, which is what resveratrol is in grapes. Now, with that as the context, understand that higher levels of CO2 in the atmosphere cause plants to produce more nutrition. Lower levels of CO2, which is what the anti-human, satanic, climate cultists and globalists are trying to achieve, lower levels of CO2 starve out the plants so that food crops produce less food. And the food that they do produce is less nutritious. So one of the recent studies that talks about this was published in Horticulture Research, Volume 10, Issue 4, April 2023. Here's the title. It's called Feeding the World: Impacts of Elevated CO2 on Nutrient Content of Greenhouse-Grown Fruit Crops and Options for Future Yield Gains. And this study was published by Nicholas H. Dodrell, Tracy Lawson, Christine Rains, and Carol Wagstaff, and Andrew Simkin. So there you go. Interesting. So this study mentions that in greenhouses, greenhouse growers, they generate CO2 in the greenhouse to improve crop yields. You can actually buy a CO2 generator, which you have to feed it natural gas, essentially, or propane. And it turns that into just CO2 in the atmosphere in the greenhouse. And then the plants flourish. Oh, they love it. Plants go crazy when they have extra CO2. So this study found that if you increase CO2 to 1,000 ppm, you can get up to 80% yield improvements in tomatoes. 80%. And the study says these results provide a clear demonstration of the potential for elevating CO2 for improving yield and quality in greenhouse crops. But you've been told by the Satanists, the climate cultists, the corporate media, the globalists, the governments that lie to you about everything. You've been told that carbon dioxide's bad. The EPA has declared CO2 to be a pollutant. And there are efforts underway with government grant money to build giant carbon dioxide sequestration machines to literally conduct terraforming operations to suck the CO2 out of the atmosphere, compress it into a liquid form, pump it through pipelines across the Midwest, and then trap it in underground caves, making sure that plants don't have access to it. This is a demonic plan to cause global famine, but it's being done in the name of the climate crisis, as they say. Well, there's a climate crisis. We have to pull CO2 out of the air. Of course, it's completely insane, and anybody who knows anything about photosynthesis would say that's a crazy plan. If you take all the CO2 out of the air, you will crash photosynthesis, and you will cause a collapse of the global food web system, mass famine among animals, too, and in the oceans as well, because the oceans depend on photosynthesis as well. I mean, what do you think feeds all the seaweed and all of the phytoplankton and so on? You've got sunlight penetrating the ocean water and then powering the life that's near the surface of the water. That's why you have all this life. Coral reefs and everything are really close to the surface because that's where the energy is. If you go deeper in the ocean, it becomes more and more dead. The deeper you get, the more dead it becomes. The life of the ocean is right near the surface because sunlight. That's why. So, there are forces in America today that are aligned with the climate cult and the climate crisis that want to alter Earth's atmosphere to turn it into a dead planet, a dead, lifeless planet, a planet that would be the opposite of what God wanted for humanity. God wants us to experience life. God wants abundance. Why else would he lead his people to the land of milk and honey? If he agreed with killing photosynthesis, it wouldn't be milk and honey. It would be just death and dust, you know? So God wants us to flourish. That's why he mentions the figs and the cinnamon and the garlic and the flowing waters, the living waters, and the vines and the grapes and everything, all of which require photosynthesis. All those plants and fruits, they all require photosynthesis. Even frankincense, it comes from the woody shrub, requires photosynthesis. God wants life on earth, obviously. Satan wants to destroy life on earth. And the systemic way for Satan to achieve that is to pull the CO2 out of the atmosphere. And that's why every single person, every scientist, every government authority, without exception, every one of them that is recommending lower levels of CO2 is advocating mass death, depopulation, a die-off, global famine. They want CO2 to plummet even more than it has already. And CO2 right now is near the lowest levels in Earth's history, although it has risen over the last couple hundred years a little bit. It's barely above 400 parts per million. But remember, tomatoes do much better at 1,000 parts per million. We're nowhere close to 1,000 parts per million. And by the way, the Washington Post recently was trying to show the historical trends of planetary surface temperatures over 458 million years. And they accidentally showed that the temperatures right now are the coolest or near the coolest that they've been for nearly half a billion years on Earth. In other words, Earth is colder now than at almost any point in Earth's history, although its temperature has gone up slightly in, I think it was like 50,000 years or something like that. But that was long before combustion engines came along anyway. The bottom line is CO2 is not a pollutant. CO2 is a gift. It's God's molecule. And planet Earth is not warming. It's just about the coldest that it's ever been in half a billion years. And that's according to mainstream science. So now if we go back to the study that I mentioned earlier that was published in Horticulture Research, they tested higher levels of CO2 on many different food crops. So if you take fruit, for example, up to 125% increase in fruit yields, and that's at 450 ppm to 1200 ppm CO2. So you want more fruit? Higher CO2 accomplishes that. It feeds the world. You want farms to grow food more easily? You want higher CO2. You want to help save third world nations, marginalized communities, all the starving children in Africa? You want higher CO2 because that will make crops much easier to grow. But here's something that's really interesting. Up to a 44% increase in vitamin C at CO2 levels less than 900 parts per million. Interesting, isn't it? There's a 32% increase in lycopene, which is in tomatoes and other, well, we call them vegetables. That was at 550 parts per million CO2. But if you go higher, if you go to 700 ppm, then you get a decrease in lycopene. So for some of these nutrients, much higher CO2 can cause that nutrient production to drop off. So there is a sweet spot. But if we go to, let's see, 47.4% increase in fruit yields at just 450 parts per million CO2. Wow. 53.8% increase in the number of fruit per plant at 550 ppm. Up to 142% increase in fruit yield. Wow. Let's see. Up to a 61% increase in capsicum in peppers. And let's see, strawberries. 35% increase in major sugars like fructose and glucose. Large variation of effects on anthocyanins, flavonoids, and antioxidant content. A 10% increase in vitamin C with up to 13% increase at higher ppm. For cucumbers, 37% increase in yields were reported. Different yields at different levels of CO2. And then let's see, up to 75% increase in fruit, fructose, and glucose. So anyway, these are just some examples, but the bottom line is that higher levels of CO2 produce more fruit per plant, more yields of vegetables and fruits, and it increases the production of the phytonutrients or the nutraceuticals that are found in these plants. So in other words, higher levels of CO2 make more food, and they make the food more nutritious. No wonder the globalists are at war with it. No wonder the demonic climate cultists want to pull CO2 out of the atmosphere, because they would rather people have disease from nutritional deficiencies, and they would rather people starve to death, because these climate cultists are all pushing depopulation. These are all the same people who take mRNA jabs too, by the way. Yeah, there's an incredible correlation. They love those jabs, and they trust the CDC and the FDA. They love big pharma, and they think CO2 is bad for you. They're wrong on everything. It's like, how did you get so wrong across the board, you know? And you're wearing masks in your own car, and you lock yourself down in your home, and you keep taking flu shots even though you always get the flu. How are you so wrong? Well, that's because they're listening to Satan. Honestly, that's the reason. So, in fact, to bring this back to God, it becomes obvious. God wants us to be healthy. God wants us to experience abundance. He promised these things over and over again in the Old Testament to the Israelis. If they would, well, behave, then they would be blessed with these things. And if they didn't behave, these things would be taken away from them. So I guess the climate cultists and the Satanists, they're trying to act like the evil version of God and say, we're going to take it away from you. We're going to take away your fruit, your food. We're going to alter the atmosphere and take away the molecules that God put here. And that's what they're trying to do. And they want to block the sun too. Don't forget that, which would block photosynthesis. So they want to actually pollute the skies and terraform the atmosphere, suck the CO2 out of the atmosphere, and cause global famine and collapse. And then they claim they're saving the planet. That's the worst part of it. They claim they're saving the planet. Wow. Delusional Satanists. So as you read scripture and as you learn the ways of Christ and God in the Old Testament, I encourage you to compare that with the messages you're being told by the establishment. When you have the government coming along and saying, well, you know, this atmosphere that humans have breathed for thousands of years, or I mean, just in the Bible times, but even going back long before that, yeah, they're going to tell you now, well, it's all wrong. It's wrong. The atmosphere chemistry, it's all wrong. Now we're going to fix it. Oh yeah, how are you going to fix it? Well, we're going to suck all the CO2 out of the atmosphere using giant man-made machines that are called carbon sequestration machines. You're like, well, wouldn't that be bad? Like, no, carbon's a pollutant. Like, well, how would photosynthesis work without carbon? And they can't answer that, because if they know what they're doing, they know they're trying to destroy life on Earth. And that is evil. That is satanic. So one of the key points I want to get across here, and you notice we're not even quoting specific scripture here today, but you can refer to my other sermons for all the citations of the foods and the waters and the life of the flesh is in the blood, you know, Leviticus 17 and the armor of God, you know, all of this, it's all throughout the Bible. It's clear that God wants us to be abundant, and that abundance is expressed through Mother Nature, through foods and nutrients, herbs and fruits, especially the fruits, the figs, the pomegranates, the grapes, the vines, and all the grains as well, the spelt and the wheat. And don't forget the black cumin and all these things. Ancient grains, they need photosynthesis in order to be produced. And the climate cultists, they want to stop photosynthesis, which means they are anti-Christ. So the climate cult movement is, listen carefully, it is an anti-Christ movement. The climate cult movement is an anti-Christ movement because they are opposed to the molecules that God put here for our benefit. And they're opposed to carbon dioxide being used by plants to create nutrients and nutrition, you know, nutritious calories to help people have something to eat that's actually good for them. So think about it. These same climate people that tell us we have to suck all the CO2 out of the air, we have to trust the science, they're the same people who say take the jabs, but they're also the same people who say, here, eat these processed foods. These processed foods, they're scientifically validated. And you know, they have a new food guide pyramid in the US government now that I think it puts like Lucky Charms as better than beef. I'm not sure if it's exactly Lucky Charms, but it's like these sugared up children's breakfast cereals. They're considered higher on the food chain than beef because they say that cows are bad because of the climate crisis. And then they say that companies that make these cereals like General Mills and Post and whatever, that as long as they have the correct, you know, woke policies, the DEI policies, then that counts more than nutrition. And so you can literally have companies now at the top of the government food guides that are pushing transgenderism, gay lifestyles, lesbianism, pedophilia, child grooming, while feeding children artificial colors, processed refined sugars, processed grains, and diabetes promoting junk foods. That will be at the top of the chart or near the top of the chart because our own government authorities, they serve Satan. There's no other way to say it. They are Satanists. They want your children to be groomed and fattened up, you know, so the pedophiles can feed on them, basically, is what this is. I know it's sick. I know it sounds sick. Well, there's a lot of child trafficking. There's a lot of pedophilia. There's a lot of grooming. And how do they fatten up the children? High fructose corn syrup, refined sugars, refined grains. They got to fatten them up, you know, before they traffic them off to some dungeon somewhere, whatever these Satanists are doing. So this is all real. This happens in our society. And the church needs to be honest about this. The church needs to stop being lukewarm and say, we're not going to talk about child trafficking. We're not going to talk about the child mutilations. We're not going to talk about anything. We're not going to talk about the junk food. Hey, you know what? Here, I'm going to talk about all of it because we need to stand up against all of it. If we stand for God, if we stand with Christ, then, you know, by God, how do we not stand for the children? Shouldn't the children even come first? We got to protect the children. We got to protect their health, their nutrition, their food, their psychological health. We got to protect them from the groomers and the pedophiles and the junk food companies. But anyway, I'm getting off topic a little bit here. The easiest and best way to grow more nutritious food on our world, which would also help children because it would help counter obesity, is to have higher levels of CO2 in the atmosphere. We need higher CO2. Higher levels of CO2 in the atmosphere literally unleash the creative forces of God. Lower levels of CO2 cause malnutrition, famine, and death. So that's all you need to know. Anybody advocating lower levels of CO2 is advocating a Satanist position, which is why almost all those people promote LGBT themes and child grooming and mutilations and vaccine jabs and everything else. It's all the same. It's in the same category of demonic. I mean, that's why the correlations are so high. For example, did you know that COVID vaccine uptake among LGBT is about 96%? Why is it so high? Well, because that belief system is consistent across those people. This is also why they want everybody to drive electric cars, because they don't want combustion engines producing any CO2, because more CO2 would grow more crops. It would cause decentralization of food crops. It would let people garden more easily in their home gardens. Whereas the government wants to centralize control of food in the hands of corporations that rely on a lot of artificial inputs in order to produce nutrient-depleted food that promotes chronic degenerative disease, which benefits the pharmaceutical giants. And when food is less abundant and harder to grow, then it allows governments to restrict food and weaponize food scarcity, which, of course, is called a holodomor. And the holodomor of Ukraine was a forced mass starvation that killed millions of people. It was carried out by the Stalin regime in the Soviet Union. I believe that took place in the 1930s. I'm looking it up. 1932 to 33, under Joseph Stalin, it was a deliberate, systematic effort to starve millions of Ukrainians, mostly rural farmers and villagers, to death. 3.5 to 5 million people died in Ukraine as a result of the Holodomor. Some estimates range as high as 7 million people. So the Soviet Union used engineered food scarcity to murder perhaps 5, maybe 7 million people in Ukraine. Right now, the climate alarmists are trying to alter the atmosphere to starve billions of people to death by collapsing photosynthesis and food crop yields, and also nutrition in food crops. So in other words, what you're looking at is a planetary Holodomor. A planetary Holodomor. If you're wondering how to spell that word, it's Holodomor, like Holodomor. And if you're wondering about the root of that word, apparently it means death by hunger, either in Ukraine's language, or maybe, I'm not sure what's the language root for that, but it means death by hunger. It doesn't have anything to do with holograms. It's Holodomor, death by hunger, or Holodomor, death by hunger. So anyway, the satanic forces are trying to do that across the entire planet. Think about that. A planetary Holodomor disguised as a Save the Earth movement. Does that sound like Satan? Yes. Deceptive, dishonest. Death is the ultimate goal, but it requires lying to people, convincing them to participate in their own suicide. So that's what the climate movement has become. A satanic suicide cult. And they may be people in their own minds that are well-meaning, but they've been recruited into a satanic suicide cult. And if you know any of those people, challenge them to describe the process of photosynthesis. How do plants get energy? Because that was high school. At least when I went to high school, I think I was taught that in the 10th grade. We had to memorize the chemistry equation of photosynthesis, how sunlight and carbon dioxide and water get turned into plant sugars. It's a very simple equation now, but in the 10th grade, it seemed really complex. But nevertheless, ask people who are the climate cultists, ask them, hey, what do you know about photosynthesis? Could you tell me how photosynthesis works? How do we make the earth more green? And maybe they'll look it up or something. They clearly don't understand photosynthesis if they're all about getting rid of carbon dioxide. Because if they supported photosynthesis, obviously they would want more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. So this is a really easy test to find out if people are on the side of life and God, or if they're on the side of death and Satan, is to find out where they stand on carbon dioxide. Because carbon dioxide is God's molecule, but it's been declared the enemy of the Satanists that are trying to eliminate it. That would be the equivalent of them saying that oxygen is bad for humans. You know, they're going to say CO2 is bad for plants. Maybe oxygen is bad for humans too. And what if they tried to eliminate all the oxygen in the atmosphere? Because they said they need to save the earth, so they have to reduce oxygen. Wouldn't you be concerned about that? Oh, wait a second. You know, we breathe that. Pretty sure. You know, every time you inhale, you're using some oxygen. That's the whole point of hemoglobin. It's got to carry oxygen to the blood cells, to the cells in the body to use it for energy, right? But if you had a bunch of lunatics come up to you and say, like, we're the anti-oxygen group. We have to stop oxygen poisoning of the world. Oxygen is a pollutant. We have to save the world and get rid of all oxygen. You would think they're crazy, right? Well, that's what the climate cultists are for plants. We have to get rid of CO2. You know, it's a horrible molecule. We've got to get rid of all the CO2. They're suicide cultists who hate plants, which means they hate forests, they hate grass, they hate trees, they hate flowers and food crops and pollinators and all of it. They hate Earth being green. You know what Earth would be without carbon dioxide? It would be a frozen ice ball. It'd be a dead, cold planet. That's what the climate cultists want. A dead, cold, lifeless planet, which is far from God's vision of what Earth should be. So don't be fooled by any of these people who claim to be, you know, greenies or Earth people or, environmentalists. If they don't understand photosynthesis and they don't understand the role of CO2, they've got no business being involved in any of that stuff. I'd like to see them try to live on a world without CO2. What are you going to do for food? What are you going to do for oxygen, actually, once you kill off all the plants from no CO2? Where's your O2 going to come from? Because plants exhale O2. So, turns out you've killed yourself, hence the satanic suicide cult designation. So don't get caught up in any of that nonsense. And thank you for listening to today's sermon here. I know it's a little bit shorter, but it's a kind of a succinct topic here. And we needed a break from, the comet impacts anyway. Talk about climate change. You get hit by a string of comets, that will change the climate big time. So check out all the other sermons at abundance.church. I'm Mike Adams. I'm doing 100 sermons in 100 days. We are now up to sermon number 57 with this one. That's amazing. We've only got 43 more to go. And then what shall we do? I have a feeling the Satanists will give us an unlimited stream of things to comment on as we try to teach the word of God and expose the Satanists that are living in opposition to God and opposition to life. But anyway, thank you for listening today. God bless you all. Breathe without shame. Yes, there's carbon dioxide in the air. It's supposed to be there. We could use a little bit more. Don't be afraid to drive a combustion engine vehicle. What comes out of your tailpipe is helping to grow more crops, it turns out. Yes, that is a scientific fact. So thank you for listening. Mike Adams here, abundance.church.